You're listening to Confessions of a Grieving Mother by Emma's Footprints. Each week, we will be bringing you stories to give you a real look on what families go through after they experience a pregnancy or infant loss. Our goal is to help educate, support, and break the stigma around this topic. Be prepared for tears and laughter as we remember our babies. This is going to be real, raw, and vulnerable, so get your boots on. It's going to be messy. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another episode of Confessions of a Grieving Mother. I am Tracy, Emma's mom.
And I am Julie, Gus's mom.
And we have on the line with us Stacy. Hey, Stace.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Our names rhyme, so.
Yeah. I just love that. Cool if we call you Stace?
I call
you. Absolutely. Okay.
I did.
Absolutely.
It's like we're BFFs already.
I can call you Stace.
And whose mama are you?
So I am actually, a mom of seven, but, my grieving story is about, my, sweet little girl, Vivian.
Oh, Vivian. I love that name.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that cute?
So cute.
So how did you hear of Emma's Footprints?
So this is the coolest story, and I just think it's the way that the Lord works. So I had a DNC, for my miscarriage, and I came out of that, and I was groggy from it, and I was just kind of like talking to the lady and asking questions and crying, obviously. And I don't know if like she started asking me about my kids or like what, and she was of course shocked that I had seven children. And so we just started talking about my story, and I of course brought the Lord into it, and she mentioned y'all, and she just said, you should look into them. And I thought, really? I don't know. And then, you know, as you're grieving, it's so nice to have an outlet that, you know, people will, know your feelings. And so I just filled it out just thinking, hey, if it's going to help me in any way and they'll send me information, I'm going to take it. So I heard about it from my sweet little nurse. So
I love that. Do you remember the nurse's name? Are we allowed to say
the nurse? I don't know the nurse's name. I wish I would have, but like I said, I was kind of groggy and very emotional.
You might have to do some investigating.
Okay, so hard question off the bat. What made your thoughts lean towards like the, I don't know if I want to reach out to them?
Only because it was just so many emotions at once with the grieving. I've never gone through a miscarriage before. I've gone through a lot of hard things. Our six kids are, adopted. So we did a lot of, you know, having to give back to the parents and then getting them back or whatever. So I did those hard things, those hard grieving things, but, doing IVF and then having the sweet baby and then having all of my numbers go fabulous and then losing her was just a shock. And then, I just didn't know what I wanted to do with my emotions, to be honest. I just didn't even. I felt more like I was in control of it in a way, I guess you could say, because it was in my body and I was really mad at my body. So
I think that's valid. And I think like part of it too, we kind of like at the very beginning are like, I can handle this. Like, I don't need your help. I can do it.
I don't need anyone else.
Because we feel like we can do everything as moms. Like we don't need somebody to tell us how to do it, you know, but
once
you realize that it's actually a road you don't know how to navigate and somebody else does, it's nice to take,
absolutely,
you know, somebody else's hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have found that more and more.
Yeah. Relatable too. I think that's, I'm always curious of, I mean, some people, they like dive right in and then a lot of them think, oh yeah, I can do this by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but friendly reminder, we're still here. Even if you think you can't do it by yourself and then you realize you can't. So it doesn't matter how long, when you come to that realization, we're here for you. So, okay. So you have six living children.
Yes.
And you said they're all adopted.
Well, I actually have seven, but I have six that are adopted. Yes.
Okay.
And one that I got to, endure the, pregnancy. So it was great.
Gosh. Oh, I have so many questions, Stace. Okay. So, but are you married? Question mark.
I am. I've been married for 20 years to Brandon.
Okay. When did you and Brandon get married? How'd you guys meet?
Well, so I actually met through my cousin at the good old Crawford County Fair.
Romantic.
Was it a concert or was it a milk and the cow?
It's, It was just walking around, and I just thought this guy was so funny, but I was like, man, he's just a friend. We're good. And so we were best friends for 4 years. And finally I had looked over at him and I'm like, wait, why am I not dating you? And he was like, I don't know. I've been asking myself. So we started dating, and then we dated for a little bit, and then got married. So, and it's been wonderful ever since. So
love that.
Yeah. Hardships, but still really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that comes to the territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did that conversation look like starting your family?
We always knew that we wanted to be parents. And as everyone, you know, you kind of always have that plan. You always are like, okay, 2 years and then we're going to get pregnant. Da, 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 da. And after our 2 years came and went, we were really like, what are we doing? And so we sought a lot of fertility treatment. And I actually... what we kept wanting to do IVF and just felt like the Lord was just shutting the door, and it wasn't really feeling a peace, I guess you could say, over it all. And so I worked at a, daycare at the time. I was a, infant supervisor, loved it there. And I just kind of felt a tug of, you know, hey, let's just see if we can foster. And if we can foster for a wee little bit and I get to nurture a child as their mom in that moment, then I'll do it. And so, yeah, we went ahead and got approved, and, next thing you know, we got our two girls, and then their mom had a baby. We got her, and then it just went on. Wow. And, so we're insanely grateful to have the six. It's hard. It's a hard road to travel on too, but, it is definitely worth it. And so, yeah, so the six crazies are all ours. And then, we decided to, do IVF. We had adopted our last daughter, Hazel, and I just kind of, we both felt like, man, you know what? The Lord's not done. And so we went ahead and did IVF, and the Lord just provided and just opened every door. And my body actually decided to work because I have severe endometriosis.
Oh, wow.
And I got two embryos, and one is my son, Owen, who's living, and then one is Vivian.
Oh, wow.
How old were you guys when you started on your fostering journey?
Oh my golly.
Early in your marriage?
No, we had like 7-8 years of just the two of us, which was a beautiful thing, to be honest, now looking back. I don't know. I don't remember how old that was. So 20 years minus 7, whatever that is. But yeah.
And what made the shift go from just fostering to fostering to adopt? Because those are just different categories,
right?
It is. So the children that we fostered and then adopted, it just came about that the parents weren't meeting the marks to take them back. And so because they were in our home for a certain amount of time, we were able to become the next person in line, I guess you could say, to be able to adopt them. So we got asked the question, hey, if this comes about, would you be willing to adopt, you know, these children? And without a doubt, it was a yes. Because at that point, I didn't know if I was going to be able to have my own.
Right.
And I just so badly wanted to be a mom. I didn't care.
How?
I didn't care if they came out of my womb or not. I just wanted to be a mom. So envisioned this.
Yeah. And I love that. That's how God works.
Amen.
When did you learn you had severe
endometriosis? And there you go.
You're good. So I actually knew back in my high school years, I had really bad menstrual they just kind of did some testing on me and found out. And then when Brent and I got serious about having babies or trying, I had to have some surgeries done, and they were like, whoa,
yeah,
you're doing it really well. You have some major severe endometriosis, which is,
you have a master's degree in endometriosis. Yeah. So congratulations on that. Yeah.
Your certificate's like, awesome. In the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
you
exactly
should get awards for that stuff. I mean, I've never struggled with that, but I can't imagine.
It does. And it's even harder, you know, when it's like, that's just your full desire. You just want to be a mom, you know? And so it's like, to be told when you knew that was what you wanted and your desire, and you knew that, like, I have a brother and sister who are 10 and 12 years younger than me. So like, I've always been their second mom. So it's like, that was always in my nature to be a mom. And it was definitely another hard thing I had to get over was having this, you know, this thing and having to know that I can't have a baby on my own, just like anyone else.
Right.
But thank God he has other ways.
Yeah. Around that. Okay. Yes. So, did you adopt the last adoption that you had? What was that comparison to when you guys decided to do the IVF with Vivian?
Oh, you're saying with Hazel, my last adoption, you said?
Yeah. Like, when was that compared to your IVF?
How many years? Yeah. She would have been about a little over 2-ish.
Okay.
At the time. And we were actually in the midst of building this home. And Brandon and I, it was our anniversary actually. And he's the one that kind of said, are you sure you're not going to want to regret, or you're not going to regret any of, you know, not trying to do IVF. And at the time I'm like, we have 6 kids. Like, we're good. We're quiverful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I prayed about it and I just thought like, you know what, God, if you're going to open doors and you're going to have my body do what it needs to do, and I'll try it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I did feel like, you know, there's always just that curiosity of wanting to carry your own baby. And it's not that I love my 6 any less, because believe me, I feel like they came out of my womb. And actually I have a couple that look like me that I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
But just, you know, just, it's just a desire. It's that curiosity. It's feeling that baby inside of you, all that stuff. So yeah, it was 2 years, and then, it just moved. It went great.
Who do you call first? You're like, okay, you and Brandon decide we want to go down this IVF road. What's your first phone call?
I did insurance first.
Okay.
I did insurance. I wanted to know, you know, my costs first. Cause I felt like that would be the first definite door shut, you know?
Yeah.
And my husband works at, Prism Plastics and in Meadville here, and they had just switched over. It was crazy. The Lord's timing, just switched over to, another company called Marmon that owns us, and in Illinois, they mandate to cover fertility. Didn't know this.
What?
So I called, and they covered 80% of my IVF.
Wow.
So I just felt like God was just like, here you go.
Here you go.
You know?
Yeah. You want to try it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my body, it performed well finally, and it never has done that. It's always struggled. It was about 2-ish years, and then we went ahead and dove in, and we never turned back.
So you got 2 embryos out of that IVF round, and you transferred one and froze one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's where I'm going.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it. Yep.
So,
and actually at the time we had to freeze both of them because COVID, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you transfer one. Mm-hmm. And you get pregnant with Vivian. You got pregnant with Owen first.
Yep.
Owen was first.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So when was that?
It'll be 3 years in September. I had him. But I transferred him on December 22nd.
Okay.
3 years ago, almost 3 years ago. Mm-hmm.
So walk us through the emotions of getting a positive pregnancy test with him.
Oh my golly.
I have like chills.
Listen, I'm pretty sure I bought out the whole aisle at Walmart of pregnancy. It was beautiful. It was, you know, 18 years of going through trying wanting a baby and wanting to see that double line and not seeing that double line multiple times.
Yeah.
To see that double line was like, I don't even know how to explain it to you. I mean, it was like, I'm surprised another, you know, country didn't hear me scream, because it was literally the best feeling in the world. And like I said, I can't even tell you how much money we spent on pregnancy tests, because I just kept testing over and over again. Cause I was like, this can't be real. This can't be real.
You were like plugging water to pee on the stick.
Hold on, let me chug more.
And I'd go to Brandon, like, it's still positive. And he'd be like,
yeah,
right. We know this.
refer to the other 10 you just took.
Yeah.
For my last email.
And, yeah, right. Exactly. But yeah, it was beautiful. It was the best feeling in the world for sure.
What did you guys do that night? I mean, did you like just stare at each other?
Oh my golly.
Did you guys celebrate?
I actually slept with the pregnancy test near my bed.
Under my pillow.
Love it. Yeah. I love it.
So I could keep looking at it just because.
But did you save any of those days? Or
I actually still have them all. Yes. Yes, I do. I have them all hidden away in my little hope chest out over here. And I actually still have Vivian's too, but oh yeah, I have them all. Mm-hmm.
That, so
his baby book.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Walking into the pregnancy with Owen, did you have like any like concept of loss? Like, did you ever think loss? Was that in your perspective?
Yeah.
Did you think, no, this is going to be a great pregnancy? And then it was. Or did you have some hiccups in your pregnancy?
I didn't have any hiccups in my pregnancy, praise the Lord, with Owen. My sister had some miscarriages. And so I was very aware of that. But, you know, with IVF, you kind of feel like you're this superhero in a way, because you're like, okay, the embryo's been tested. I've had all this medication put in my body. So you just are like, you think that you're like pretty much unstoppable in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just kept thinking like, it's good. But then there were moments like I didn't realize, because I've never been pregnant before, I didn't realize all of the testing that you had to have done. So like my anatomy scan, for instance, I would get there and I felt so anxious because I was like, okay, here we go. The shoe's going to drop, like something, you know? So I did feel like every time I had a test with Owen, I kept telling myself like, okay, God, you're going to get me through this, right? Like, you're going to get me through, because the shoe's going to drop. Everything's gone so well, but the shoe's going to drop. But in the back of my mind, like I said, I kept thinking to myself, no, you did IVF. You're good. They tested everything, you know?
Right.
And like I said, with Owen, up until my labor was pretty rough, but up until then, I had a great pregnancy with him.
We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more of Stacy's story.
When the unthinkable happens, the loss of a child through miscarriage, stillbirth, or infant death up until the baby is 12 months old, Emma's Footprints is here to walk families through their grief journey. We provide financial support for funeral costs, as well as emotional support through group meetings and one-on-one connections with our care team. Our goal is to sustain lost parents and their families through the fog of grief and care for them in every stage of healing and hope after loss. For more information about our mission, head to our website at www.emmasfootprints.com.
Okay, Stacey, so when is Owen's birthday?
It is September 5th.
And yay, the excitement, I'm sure the joy you had when you had him and what that meant for your family, and then the lingering thought of another embryo, which I can relate to that. So,
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Your other kids at home, like what, you being pregnant, I mean,
they loved it.
They all know they're adopted?
Yes.
Question mark.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how was that for them watching you?
Oh, it was so
like
good.
The bigger.
Yeah, it was cool. We surprised them all after the 17 weeks of knowing Owen was good. We went ahead and surprised them all, and they were just like, what? Mom's having a baby in her belly. What?
Aww.
You know, because they've all seen that we don't get babies
right
way.
Yeah. Yep.
But no, they were really excited, and I think really intrigued by my stomach, and they would, you know, they would get to feel Owen kick, and it was cool.
How old is your oldest now?
16.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So 16.
Really understood things.
Yes. Yeah.
Really got to be a part of that journey. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Now they're really a part of it because they get to help watch him.
Yes. Get the responsibilities of the siblings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then back to the embryo talk. What did that look like, having another baby or let's walk into that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was a bittersweet with Vivian. I definitely was so excited to have another one. But you know, sometimes when you're a mom of multiples and multiples even more like seven, you know, it's like when you walk into a restaurant, you walk into Walmart, you walk any, you know, going to church, people are like, what? So, you know, there was a moment where I was kind of like, eight, can we do eight, you know, do another baby again? And I just turned 40. So I was like, oh, I don't know, Brian. But I was so excited because I felt like, you know what? No, God gifted me with two sweet embryos. And like I said earlier, we had them both tested. So I felt like they both were good. And I was like, I did fine with Owen. I'll do fine with Vivian. So
yeah.
I was nervous, but I also knew that the Lord wouldn't give me more than I could handle in this. So yeah, we went in and it, again, went great. Transferred her and she attached quickly and they were super excited about it. And so, yeah,
it was all going on. So, when did you find out you were pregnant with Vivian?
I actually found out I was pregnant with her in September, Labor Day weekend.
Were you at a fun picnic?
I was. We do a big old Huff reunion on that weekend. And I came home real quick because I was sicker than a dog. And I came home and I tested and I, like, it's
you
literally
knew.
Right up, right, yeah. I knew. I did know. But Brandon was up at the pavilion. It's right up the road from us. And I'm like texting him. I'm like, come home now. And again, tested with her 50 million times too.
Yep.
And what year was it? September of
this past September.
23.
Yeah. Okay. Still new to it.
So you said you were sick. Were you sick? Like, were you ever sick with Owen? So was this a new symptom?
A little bit. Okay. It was like that lingering nauseousness with him all the time. And her, I was too, but her, I was really, really, really sick with her.
Sorry. Because you got the embryos tested, you know, like immediately what gender they are.
Yes.
That's so cool.
It is so cool. You don't have to, but I was just curious and I knew at the time I had one girl, one boy. So I didn't know with Owen, I didn't know which one I was getting until we saw him.
Wow. Technology is really neat.
I know. It is really cool, isn't it? Especially for people like myself.
did you tell the other kids about you were pregnant with? Okay.
No, and actually they still don't even know to this day. And you know, again, it was all the Lord in that because I wanted to. I was so excited. I wanted to. I'm like, no, we had him. We're good. Let's tell him. And you know, Brandon, I've always loved that about him. He has such a gift of discernment, and he just kept telling me, hold off, just wait. Let's just make sure. Let's, you know, pray about it. And I'm like, okay. And I was bummed, but I'm really thankful we did. And the reason we didn't tell them even about my miscarriage with her was maybe I should have to some degree, maybe I will at some point, but right now they're all pretty young that I just still felt like they don't know that world. You know what I mean? They don't, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to make it all a negative thing for them when really it was a positive that I got pregnant again, you know?
So when did that shift and what, like, can you bring us to that day of when that started happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Brent and I went on a vacation with his family to Virginia, and I had just gotten some testing done, and my sweet nurse, Hallie, called me. I went to Cleveland Clinic and she called me and said, Stacey, your numbers look great. We're perfect. We're beautiful. Da, 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 da. I'm like, awesome. Like, okay. So fast forward a few weeks later, I just felt so confident in Vivian because my numbers were skyrocket high. I was so sick. But she was tested. But anyway, I was at church. I lead worship with my husband at our church. And we have to be there at 7:30 in the morning to do a run through on Sundays. We have two services. And we were in the bathroom and getting ready to leave. And I was like, man, I gotta go pee real quick. And I went pee. And when I wiped, I had seen a little bit of blood. And Brandon came back and he goes, hey, you ready? We gotta go. And I'm like, we're always late. And I said, yeah. And I like kind of like looked at him like puzzled, and I'm holding my tissue like, what? You know, and I'm just like, okay, it's okay. Like my body's just weird. Like sometimes I spotted a little bit with IVF, and something that a lot of, you know, patients that have IVF, that do IVF, don't know is chances of you bleeding when an embryo attaches are really high. I did not know that until I had Owen. But so I kind of like rested my head on that. Like, okay, she's just getting in there really good. Like, we're fine. Excuse me. So we went to church, and I'm on stage, and I'll never forget, I was singing Come to the Altar. Excuse me, by Elevation. And I just kind of felt crampy in the moment, but I was, again, just telling myself, it's in your head, you're fine. And when I went through the run through, I felt okay. But then when I was on stage worshiping with the congregation, I felt a massive gush and huge cramping. And I knew right then and there that it was wow. That. So that was our first service. And so I went over to Brandon, and I went and grabbed him, and I just said, I gotta go to the emergency room. And he's, you know, I didn't want to take him away from the worship, because I'm like, it's okay. Like, I'm just going to get off. I'll figure it out. They're going to tell me it's fine. Like, I'm just that like person that's always trying to think positive.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it was one of the hardest days I've ever had to go through, is, you know, going to the hospital by myself. My mom met me there, thankfully. But and just seeing the look on the nurses' faces when they looked in the toilet, and then when they did the ultrasound, which I was really bummed about. I had a really not nice ultrasound tech, but, you know, she was just so cold and just not at all compassionate in the situation. And all she told me was the heart rate went down. And I just kept thinking, okay, well, like, what does that mean? And it's okay. And I just said to the lady, I go, what does that mean? And she said, she said, which I think is a really not nice way of saying it, but she said, it's on its way out. And I just, like, my heart just went goosh, you know, like my heart dropped, and I started bawling on the table, and I'm like shivering because I'm in shock. And wouldn't let my mom in there, by the way. So I was literally in there by myself getting this news. And so, yeah, I just went back to the room, and I mean, I was like sobbing like no other. And then Maria came to the hospital, and he knew. I mean, and so I just hugged him for pretty much the longest time I could. And they tried to see if they could, you know, get the rest of the remains out. And they couldn't. So then they said that they would send me to my doctor to make sure that, you know, I was all taken care of that way. And when I did that, that was even like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's many people that unfortunately have been on this road even, but to have that happen once and then have to go back to a doctor's office and have that happen again and do the ultrasound again, it is just like such a trigger is set for you. And that was really hard. I felt like it was even harder than the day that I lost her. You know what I mean? Cause I didn't want to do that again. I didn't want anyone to be looking in there again. I wanted to just pretend like,
yeah,
it didn't happen.
Right.
So, but yes, that was the day. Until this day, I still cannot use our first stall in our bathroom at our church.
Wow. So, but I mean, what was that date? September?
It was the 17th.
Wow. That was just like 6-7 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they send you, said you're in Meadville?
I'm in Meadville now, but they sent me to Erie.
Okay.
So I went to Erie Hospital.
For the procedure? For the DNC?
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. I'm so sorry they didn't have compassion.
I know.
That she said,
me too.
That's not helpful.
No, I know. Moments. That was hard to hear. Yeah.
How did you go home that night? Like, were your kids, like, how do you walk in your home?
I know. That's
what's happening. You know, it's still not, did you know it was not over yet? Like there was more to come?
No, I mean, at the time I kind of knew in a way just because they said they couldn't get it all, but I didn't know what that meant because they said that my body could, you know, pass the leftovers of it all. But I didn't know what that meant. I was so naive to all that. So I just, you know, we had told the kids that I had gone to the hospital because of my stomach, which due to endometriosis, that isn't uncommon. So right. The kids were just kind of like, okay, mom's stomach, are you okay? Why are you crying? Are you okay?
Yeah.
And you know, it again, I know that you girls even know, like when you're grieving, you don't want anyone around you. You just want to go to your bed, be in your bed and just cry. And so they did let me do that. And Brandon was just so good and good at, you know, talking to them and reassuring them that just that, you know, mommy's just really sad right now. It just doesn't feel good, you know? But yeah, I just came home and slept a lot, for the first few days. And that's again, where I don't remember the date that I submitted to y'all, but, I know that it was shortly in that week that I had looked y'all up, and that's where I decided to, okay, I'm ready to use my story if that's what the Lord wants.
Yeah. When or how did you come up with the name Vivian?
I just love older names, and
same.
Hazel is my number six, and she was my my grandmother's name was Hazel, my great grandma actually. And I don't know, I just liked Vivian. I thought it flowed well with Owen and flowed well with Hazel. And I just liked that it was a different, you know, first initial too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was just, it's really I loved pretty. It. Thank you. I thought calling her Vivi would be so cute.
Mm-hmm. I'm here for that. Stay simple.
Yeah, I love the name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the name. Yeah.
So what did the holidays look like for you guys then, since you and Brandon knew you were grieving Vivian, but the rest of the family didn't know that?
You know, again, as you guys, I'm sure know, grieving just comes in such waves. There were times that I was like, you know what? It's okay, God. Like, I'm good. I have my seven. I'm so grateful. And then there were times that, you know, especially at holidays, it was hard sitting there and thinking like, man, I thought I'd be looking down at my belly at this point. Or, you know, like when you get pregnant, you go through all the timeline, you know what I mean? And so it's like, I kept thinking like, oh, and I'll be honest, I've always wanted a baby born in May. That was just something always in my head that I kept thinking like, oh, if I could get pregnant and then have the baby in May, that would be amazing. And it was like, she was going to be born in May. And she was actually due the weekend of Mother's Day. But I would have had a C-section, so she would have been due the 5th. So that still kind of, you know, gets me a little bit. And I had a friend at the time that she was pregnant also, and we were due a week apart. And she unfortunately lost her little little baby a week before I did. And you know, I just that's been kind of, I don't want to say nice, that's not the right word I want to say, but it's been reassuring to have that person, you know, that can come alongside me and say, hey, I feel you. I feel it here. So when there were hardships that came about since having this happen to us, I was able to lean on her and just go, hey, I'm really struggling today. It's Thanksgiving. I'm struggling. I'm really mad, you know, or hey, I'm really sad today. I cried a lot because I thought we would be here, you know.
You're bonding over grief trauma.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool experience. Like if it has to be an experience, it better be with somebody that can do it with you know?
Amen. And, and then just the icing on the cake, you know, of her being someone in our church, someone in my Bible study, you know, it was just, we could kind of, but the Lord says this, or, oh, did you hear this song? This really spoke to me. So I don't know. It was really cool. Really cool. So I gained a good friend out of that.
How does your congregation know what happened? Like what was going on that day?
Some of them do. My Bible study women do. There's like 20 some women in my Bible study, and they all knew. And at the time, I just had asked for prayer, because at the time when they had told me that her heart rate had gone down, again, I'm just such a hopeful person. I just kept thinking, no, but the Lord is the Lord of miracles, and he's going to perform a miracle on Vivian, and her heart rate is all of a sudden going to, you know, because Cleveland was like, hey, we want to be sure of this before we, you right. know, do anything. So I had reached out to them, and just asked for prayer, that, you know, would God change my story in this, right. and that she would be okay. So yeah, some of them do. My whole congregation, no. I think, excuse me, it was kind of, it was a blessing that the Lord was able to kind of shield me from that, that, you know, no one saw that
right.
part of
right.
it.
Yeah. But, so having yeah. to sing that song again. Since
yes, and it's lot. Funny you would ask me that. I did not think that song would trigger me, but it did. I just let it actually recently, and I remember as I was singing, and I thought, man, I hate to say it this way, but this is where that like gush happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And yeah. it was a little emotional, for me to get through it, but. I've learned a lot in my grieving time, in my short grieving time. And I have so much confidence in the Lord that I know he has so many good things still for me that yeah. my story is not stopping at Vivian. So maybe me being a mom to number 8 is, but just saying like,
yeah.
you know, just,
yeah. There's more to her
not,
story.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just mm-hmm. feel like, He's not going to silence me in my grief, you know, with that. I think he's going to use it for good.
Right. So you mentioned your sister has experienced mm-hmm. a couple miscarriages. Mm-hmm. When she was going through those, did she talk to you about them? Like, did you know how mm-hmm. to support her in that? And like, what does that relationship look like since you've experienced your...
Sure. Did I know how to support her? Yes and no. I feel like in that moment, I was so... I don't know what to say to someone that lost, you know, that had a miscarriage. I don't know what that means. And you know, I would always say, when I was going through my infertility, I would always say, oh, thank God that you did not have me go through a miscarriage. I don't know how I would deal with that. How I would deal with that. And I would always say that, you know, in the earlier years, but with my sister Whit, you know, I just loved on her, encouraged her. I let her talk yeah. if she, because I didn't know what to say. So it was right. just like, hey, I'm just going to let you tell me or talk to me. And so just really just pouring into her and loving on her. And I'm a gift giver. That's my love language. So of course, giving gifts was what I did. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. How has she supported you through your loss?
Oh man, she's been wonderful. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the same thing as with my friend, you know, just, mm-hmm. I hate being in this club. I hate sharing this grief with other women. But you know, she was the one that, yeah, I mean, she just, just, you know, her always just calling and constantly checking.
Yeah.
Checking on me. And if I would, you know, talk to her, because I was really mad in my story. I was really mad that I had an embryo tested and mm-hmm. I lost her. Because I still don't understand that,
right.
and my doctor doesn't understand it. And so just kind of like a frustrating thing to understand and to go through when you think, well, you know, I thought she was perfect, you know.
Right.
But Whit would just call and just talk to me and just, you know, tell me she knew. You know, mm-hmm. she would. How you doing? I'd be like, I'm just really sad. I'd start, you know, doing that mm-hmm. ugly cry, and yeah. all she would do is go, I know, I know, I know.
yeah.
So just checking, mm-hmm. checking and loving on me and, reminding me that my body's not broken and reminding me that, you know, that it wasn't my fault. And cause that's something I definitely went through was, mm-hmm. Looking in the mirror after you have a miscarriage, you don't look at yourself the same.
Right. I think that's a powerful point.
Yeah.
So when are you ladies going to come hang out with us? Just asking.
Because we're a good time.
Just asking for a friend.
Yeah, I love it.
And is your sister in Meadville also?
No, she's unfortunately in Altoona.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, but when she comes home a weekend, we could hang.
Yeah, I feel like you have in your, I'm not shocked, but I'm shocked at how wise you are already at this point in your grief journey. I mean, I know it's the Lord, but also it just, this is uncharted territory and and it makes you look at things differently. And, you know, so that's just part of the journey too. But I feel like you have a lot of wisdom to share with moms that
are,
you know, just going through this or maybe have been struggling with a loss for years and haven't had that safe place and that person to pour into them and just sit and listen.
Yep.
So I feel like you do have a lot to offer, and Vivian's story is not over. And
yeah, I agree.
God will use it.
Yep, I agree.
To love others. So, I mean, we have our walk in September.
Oh, yay.
Like you can either
that
come
would be
to North,
perfect.
Park, North Park or Erie.
I would love it.
You're kind of right.
I would love
middle.
It. Yep.
That would be.
I would love it.
Yeah. We'll have to connect and stay in touch.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I would love that. And, you know, it's something that now has become such a passion of mine is it, not just for the adoption world and infertility, but now, you know, adding miscarriage to my story. I just so badly want women to understand that they're not alone. And that, you know, I just so badly want to just encourage them. And one of the things that I'll say that my friend said to me, and I just love this, and this helped me so much get through it with Vivian, was when I was, you know, definitely at my lowest point in the beginning, she said, but Stace, just think, when Vivian opened her eyes, the first thing she saw was Jesus. And I never heard that before. And I never had to hear that before. And to know that was like, I don't know, it just kind of took my breath away and just made me feel like, you know, like, that's perfect. Like, how beautiful for her, her beautiful little face, perfect face, got to open her eyes and see Jesus first. Like, okay, like,
jealous.
He's got her.
I was just gonna say, dang, like, girl.
Yes.
Can I get a pass?
Right. So I just, that has held me so like close to the Lord in that, like, okay, Lord, you're looking at her today. How's she doing? You know, and I don't know. I guess. That's something that I just want to say to anyone that would be listening, whether, you know, whatever the weeks were that this happened, that baby, the first sight they saw was Jesus. And I just think nothing can be sweeter than that. Yeah. So that has helped me get through it a lot and given me comfort and hope. So.
Right. And it's the both and. It's like, while that is true, we are hurting here.
Because, amen. Yes.
Because our babies are not here with us. So it's hard.
Right.
We have to hold both.
Yeah.
Amen.
Both of those.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
And that's what I feel like, that's what we do then, as we sit and we hold that with others, hold that weight.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Man, Stace, where have you been?
Sorry, you're a part of us now.
I know. That little voice was like, don't reach out to them. You got this. Was like, chucked away.
I know.
Like, it's gonna give them an email.
I know. I was. It was awesome to get the email and to see that this was an opportunity for me. I was a little nervous, but I was like, "All right, Lord, just use me. Just use me. I want to be a vessel." So
well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for being brave and reaching out and being courageous.
I feel like thanks for having me.
Yeah, impact a lot of people, and
I hope so.
I'm excited to stay in touch and get to know you.
Yes,
more. You're not that far from us. So
No.
Thank you for sharing Vivian with us and your journey. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Stay tuned next week for another episode of Confessions of a Grieving Mother.